Well, as I was studying this week and preparing, and I came across the story of an old miner that had come out west many, many years ago to stake his claim and to strike it rich out here in California. And he was told that there was mine up in them there hills, and if he took a pick and started digging and picking away, that, you know, he would hit a vein of gold and he would be a rich and wealthy man. And so he did as they instructed and got his little, you know, parcel that he staked out his claim, and day by day picked and shoveled at the dirt and picked and picked and shoveled at the dirt and picked and picked and shoveled at the dirt. And after a period of time, discouragement started to set in. Anybody ever have any discouragement ever set in any time in your life? And finally, one day, I don't know, maybe his biorhythms were down. I have no idea what was going on with him. But he finally took that pick and he pulled it up in the air as high as he could. And he just slammed that thing down and he said, "That's it. I'm not doing it anymore. This is foolishness. I was crazy to come out west to give up everything that I had before to seek a treasure or a dream that doesn't exist or that few and far in between ever strike." So he left the pick there and went on his way and gave up. Many years later, some other people were mining in that area and digging and trenching. And not but 11 feet from where that pick was, they struck the biggest mine and vein of gold that California had ever seen. By this time, that miner had long since passed away, never realizing he was within 11 feet of accomplishing his goal. Of not ever being discouraged again, financially at least. And how true that is in our lives at times, isn't it? And I'm here to tell you today that if you are in a point in your life where you might be discouraged, you're right where you need to be. And like I said, if you feel like maybe you're at a point in your life where you're discouraged, you feel like everything's coming at you, to keep you from doing or accomplishing whatever it is in your life, be grateful. Truly be grateful, because it is during this time of your life that God has you grow the most, as long as you don't quit. Could you imagine God calling upon people in His ministry for the propitiation of the gospel of Jesus Christ that were quitters? Would He have sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to die for our sins if He knew that Christ even had the chance of getting right here to where that cross was and say, "Nah." If Christ threw His pick down in the ground 11 feet from Calvary, where would we be today? I shudder to think. In the book of Galatians, is that one up there? Yep. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not," if we don't give up. We'll be able to reap the things that the Lord told us we can have. But here's the problem. Some of us don't ever call upon the Lord to find out what it is that we can have. Some of us just think that life is about slamming our head into a block wall. Just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. When if you listen to the Lord, the Lord might say, "Move 3 feet to the right." Why? There's no wall there. Some of you laugh, but you know that's true, don't you? Some of us have many lumps on our head from what? From running into the block wall. When all we have to do is dial up God. Did you know that God has a phone number? Anybody here know that God has a phone number? Going to prove it here in just a second. Who here has ever, when Jean was with us, ever called Jean and she wasn't home? What did her answering device say? "You've reached Jean 2427. Jean did not bother to give the 437 2427. There used to be a time where you dial Richmond 99999, something like that. You didn't even call out the other numbers. Well, in the book of Jeremiah, if you call God, you can just call Him on His number, Jer, 30 or 333. Just remember Jer 333. Stands for Jeremiah 33, chapter, verse 3. And it says here, "Call unto me." Not to be mistaken with the verse we find in Isaiah 40, 31. It says, "Those that wait upon the Lord." So God obviously has a telephone that has call that you can call him, but it has call waiting also. Okay? So we have this, and it says, call upon the Lord. Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call upon me. And I got to thinking about, that just answers all the problems that you have for discouragement. We need not be discouraged in this life. All we have to do is what? Call upon God. And what will he do? He will show us great and mighty things. Great and mighty things. He's not going to show us the same thing. He's going to show us great and mighty things that we don't know about that pertain to you. And so I got to thinking about things in my life. I got to thinking about, my gosh, how true Jeremiah 33:3 is. When I was younger and discouraged and didn't know what I was supposed to do with my life, I got down on my knees one night when I had been working at the business that I had and there was enough income for myself or for my partner, but not for enough income for himself and myself. And I knew he started the business, so if one person was going to go, guess who it was going to be? Moi. I got down on my knees that night, and I wasn't even really following after the Lord. And I said, Lord, if you show me what to do, I will do it. Just show me. You don't have to hit me over the head. You don't have to do anything else. Just give me a subtle hint. The very next morning, I awoke to a phone call from my mom saying, you know that pizza restaurant up here that we talked about maybe doing in Marysville? Yeah, it's available. Let's do it. That was more than a subtle hint. I called him. Guess what he did? He returned my phone call. He showed me something that was great and mighty, because had it not been for me getting on my knees that day, I would not have gotten the phone call the next morning. Had I not gotten the phone call the next morning, I would have not gotten the call to the ministry here today. He showed me great and mighty things I didn't even know about. Were there times in my pizza restaurant I got discouraged? Oh, baby, let me tell you. When you're losing $9,000 a month towards the very end, and you do that for 8 months, it gets discouraging. That gets discouraging. But do you know what the Lord does? He will take you from one situation into another situation. He might not care about your financial situation, as long as you are growing in what he wants you to do. But we call upon him to seek his guidance. It is in the seeking of his guidance and through these times of roughness and discouragement that we find that our faith in him becomes strengthened. Why? Because of Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It expands our understanding of what God is about. And when I was thinking about all this, I couldn't help but come up with that old kind of cheesy poem that a lot of us have heard before. Maybe you haven't. Maybe it's not as cheesy as I thought it was. It says, when things go wrong as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and when you want to smile but all you can do is sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. For life is queer with its twists and its turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. What would have happened had that miner picked up the axe or the pick and done a few more blows? Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Some of you may have heard this before. I had heard it many years ago and it came to mind. And I think about that. I think about a story that I had in my own life, like I told you about coming up here to the north. I think about the story about God bringing me up here, but I think about another story long before I was even following after the Lord. when I was playing pro ball. And the story I'm going to tell you is not fun if you're going through it, because if you are a pitcher, you are paid to get people out, not have people get hits off of you. And I had a streak whereby in this streak, I earned my nickname, which was called Upper Decker. Also not a good name to have if you're a pitcher. I had a streak of 11 straight games that I gave up a home run. I could get down to the last pitch, having two outs and two strikes on the batter, and I would give up a home run. Life was starting to get a little discouraging. I could not figure out what was going wrong. Everything that I tried to do was incorrect. It wasn't that I wasn't trying. Do you ever notice that sometimes when you get discouraged, it's not because you're not trying. It's just you're not getting the results that you think by the efforts that you're giving that you should be getting. Isn't that when discouragement sets in? And so there I am, I'm pitching, and boom, there goes another one. The next game, boom, there goes another one. And I'd be going, my gosh. And so I'm pitching on the 12th game, the 12th day I come in. And this time, instead of giving up a home run, I come in and I walk the first three guys I face. And I'm going, well, this is a different twist. And all I could think of was, I'm going to give up a home run. It's going to be a grand slam. My career is over. And for somebody that has been dreaming of the day to play in the major leagues since he was the age of four, and now you're 25, that's 21 years of dreaming and striving and working your heart out to achieve what you want to achieve. And I don't know what I did in that moment. I know I said a little prayer. I might have used the name of the Lord in a little bit different way than it should be used, but I said, I'm not quitting. I'm not getting beat. I'm not going to let this moment define who I am as a player. And I don't know where the strength came from, but I struck out the next three batters in a row, and I came out of my slump. It was a decision, and my manager came out, and he looked at me, and he says, are you okay? I said, don't take me out. I said, I will get out of this. Do not take me out. And thank the Lord he didn't. And it was at the end of that season, I was traded and made it to the major leagues, to where I got to experience even just a little bit of my dream, my goal. But how easy it could be for somebody in that situation to feel like the deck is completely stacked against you and you can't do anything else. Everything that you touch is turning to, you can't spell that, just to yuck. And we've all been there. I think about in this last division series with the Giants playing. Anybody here remember the last game of the division series? Not the World Series, but Travis Ishikawa hitting the home run to right field. People remember? Anybody? I was the only one watching the game. Do you remember? It was kind of like the home run that Bobby Thompson hit many years ago. Giants win the pennant. Giants win the pennant. Ishikawa is a 30-year-old player in the major leagues right now. We think that he's got it made, that he's never had a rough road. He came this close to quitting baseball altogether because he started out the year on one team, got released by it, and the Giants picked him up and put him in AAA. And at the age of 30, when he'd already experienced a couple years in the major leagues, to go back to the minor leagues, you think to yourself, what am I doing wrong? And while he was down there, he was only hitting like $1.50. That means $1.50 for people that don't know, which is not good. And he called up his buddy. He says, man, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I should quit. I'm not having success here. This is AAA. I should be a major league player. I've worked my whole life. And his friend said, and he was Christian, he says, pray about it. Ask the Lord for strength. Keep going. Don't quit. And you know the rest of the story. I don't have to be Paul Harvey. He came up. They put him in left field where he'd never played before. Why? He just wanted to contribute, to be part of it. He didn't want to quit. And when the time came, the bases, they had guys on first and second with two out. Wham! One of the best home runs I've ever seen in my life. I have a friend that went to that game. She's never been to a game in her entire life. Never been to any professional baseball game. And she gets invited to go to that game. I told her, I said, it's all downhill from there on. You said, you want probably one of the best baseball games ever played that you'll ever see. You think about Moses in the wilderness. Do you think that Moses dealt with any type of discouragement? Maybe not from him, but do you think he heard of any discouragement from the millions of Jews that were out there? They were the biggest bunch of whiners I've ever heard in my entire life. True? I mean, wine. They didn't need to drink wine. They were full of wine. whine about this and whine about that. Well, Lord's not taking, he's not bringing us here. We've been doing this for 40 years and we're not out of this mess yet. Anybody here struggled for 40 years? I would pray probably not. And how would you like to be Moses to have to listen to that for 40 years? I don't blame him for not going into the promised land. He probably said, Lord, get him out of my sight. I'll kick that rock again. If that's going to keep me here and keep me from being with them anymore, I'll let Joshua have him. He was probably ready to give him over by that time. Don't get discouraged. Never get discouraged. You're in the right place. That means that you're this close to breaking through. Whatever it is that you're going through, you're this close. If you wonder at times, Lord, why do I keep having this happen to me? Have you ever heard anybody say that to yourself? Anybody say that? Marie, I don't understand why I'm going through this again. Bill, this kiss happens over and over and over and over. We hear people say that to us, don't we? If they would but persevere this much longer, they'll get through it. We know that. We've been through it. I'm sure Brother Gene's been through a few episodes of discouragement. Did you ever have anything go wrong on the ranch? Nothing. It always, you had banner crops every year, didn't you? You got a phone call. And it's amazing how he answers back, isn't it? When my grandfather was a younger man, probably in his late 40s, early 50s, many of you know that have been around long enough know about the poultry disease that came through, that Newcastle disease. My grandfather had over 500,000 chickens. How would you like to have the government come into you and say, we will give you 10 cents on the dime for every one of those chickens, and you must put them all down? Could you be discouraged? He got a phone call too. He called upon the Lord. See, he started calling the Lord when he was a lot younger man. Long before he had those kind of things start to happen. He called upon the Lord, and the Lord said, donate $2,500 to the church's building fund. His annual income was $2,200. The kids are going, how could anybody live on $2,200? Back then, it was pretty easy. Then he comes home and he tells his wife, we're supposed to give $2,500. Discouragement sets in on my grandmother. Honey, she said Orny, because his name was Orin. She called him Orny. Orny, we only made $2,200. He said, the Lord told me to. I called upon him. He called me back, basically. Here's what he told me. Here's what he'll provide. When the Lord calls you back, you changed it. He will give you a message, as it says in Jeremiah, that says, I will show you great things, mighty things, wondrous things, things that you don't even have a foggiest notion about that I will accomplish through you if you stay the course and stay strong. Some people would have probably said that this church was left for dead many years ago. That when the six that are still kind of keeping it together pass away, that church is done for. I've heard people say, well, that church will eventually convert to a Catholic church or an all-Hispanic church. It doesn't matter with God. Look at the ones that are here today. It's because people didn't give up. We have to stay persistent. It's not our this life that we're in, this race that we're in, this work that has been done is being transformed within us, is not a work of a sprint. It's not a 5-yard sprint, a 10-yard sprint. It is a run for your life. Remember that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us, and he will show us great and mighty things.